and welcome to episode 2 of season 3 of Conclave Radio. I'm your host, Casey Haw, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Clint.
Hello.
And Greg.
I don't have chairs.
Not this episode. It's going to be a fun episode. This is actually the first episode of season 3 where we're going to be talking about a lesson.
A lesson?
Yes, yeah. We're going to be starting our adulting series.
Isn't adulting fun?
No,
it's not. But talking about it, now that is quite interesting.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a 20-year-old, someone who's just become somewhat of an adult.
Yeah, you have to decide, when you're an adult, you get to decide things like, do I want to go to church? Or do I want to go to, a concert?
Concert.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy choice.
Yeah.
Know what really amazed me?
What really amazed you?
When they said you're going to miss high school, and I thought, nah.
And then you did.
And now I miss high school.
You sure do.
And the worst part is they say I'm going to miss college, and I'm like, nah.
And you will.
But I'm probably going to miss college.
You're definitely going to miss college.
I never miss high school. Never.
Did you really?
Never.
I miss high school.
Now, college was great.
I thrived in popularity in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Well, somewhat. In the band, at least. Not like...
band popular.
Yeah. All you got to do to become popular in the band is be a senior. So it was pretty easy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I never missed high school. College was amazing. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty great.
College is okay. I work more. I do work a lot.
You work more than the typical college student.
Really? Well, I probably don't make as much as the typical college student either.
Oh,
I don't know.
Surprised?
I don't know.
Yeah.
More or less. It's not as fun as I expected.
Yeah.
So how was y'all's week since episode 1?
It's been a good week.
It has been.
I went to lunch with Greg Dye family on Sunday afternoon.
Really?
It was quite delightful.
The Dye family.
Yep. Which Dye family.
Sponsored by Mrs. Dye.
Yes. It was sponsored by Mrs. Dye. It was a great time.
Not by Mr. Dye.
Yes. Nice little restaurant, and it was a good fellowship, because that's what we do. You know, we spiritualize everything. It's not just we went out for lunch. No, we went out to fellowship.
We went out to fellowship.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
What did I say?
It's been a good week.
I don't even know.
It seems to me like the week it always does, but we're going to blink our eyes, and it's going to be Halloween. And then it will be Thanksgiving, and then 2019 will be over.
I'll tell you what.
Hashtag season 4.
First.
Season 4.
This week has been really long. Second, I can't wait for Halloween. I can't wait for cool weather.
Cool weather will be.
Yeah.
The past 3 days, I've been digging holes and shoveling and pickaxing.
Yes,
picking, I guess.
Why?
Well,
sod.
Yeah,
such.
I was gonna say, if you go to the front of the church and you see a lot of sod, that was us.
Oh.
And it reached about 100 degrees.
Yeah.
If you're not, if you don't live in Alabama, that's what it's like. It's it reaches 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
With 100% humidity.
Yeah, you feel like you're just in boiling water.
Yep.
It's not fun.
But, it's not boiling.
Yes, I know.
I'm one of the few people who like time change when we have less daylight. It is very calming to me when it gets dark at 4:30 at night. Oh, I love it. I mean, it's so calming.
See, Leslie and I are both in the boat with you. Because,
really?
Because we both wake up so early.
Yeah.
That it's nice to be able to wake up and there be a little bit of sun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the time change gives us that extra sun in the morning. So
it's just very. I think it's just very soothing.
Yeah.
To drive home and it's already nighttime, and that means it's also getting your Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that.
And bedtime.
by the end of said season, I'm always ready for the next season. Like I'm really ready for it to cool off. But by the end of winter, I'll be ready for summer again.
Yeah.
When is the end of winter in Alabama?
I'm sorry. We
have
like
3 days.
They call it winter, but
I mean, we have had Christmases where it was like 75.
We shut down.
And then we've had a February where it was below 50, 3 days in February.
We shut down schools and roads if it flurries.
Yeah. It's good times.
Milk sandwiches.
Milk sandwiches.
All right.
Well, check this out about adulting.
I don't enjoy adulting.
Check this out about adulting. I'm going to read a little phrase here, and you tell me what you think. One day you graduate high school, and you are an adult at last.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, instead of a diploma, you hold a paycheck in one hand and a stack of bills in the other. You find yourself swimming in the treacherous seas of adulthood, surrounded by 401k, insurance, bosses, potential spouses. And everything in between. How can you reign? How can you begin to navigate your 20s and 30s and still honor God in the process? That's kind of the deal. You know, how do I honor God when all those things are going on while I'm trying to figure this whole thing out?
Yeah.
Because I think the deal is we think, oh, I'm going to graduate high school and I'll have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. And then it's like, well, once I have a couple years of college under my belt, then I'll have it all figured out. No. And then I'm
By 40.
Now I'm hoping by 40 I'll have it all figured out, and that's kind of the deal, right?
So. I went into college. It's a bachelor's of fine arts degree, and I looked at how many hours I needed, and I planned on double majoring, and I'm about
now
to start.
You've realized that.
No, I'm starting my third year of college, and I'm not double majoring anymore. And I went from a bachelor's of fine arts degree to a bachelor's of arts degree, which just means
less hours.
But it's still a bachelor's degree.
I still take the degree. Is it still a degree?
Still on paper.
Still a degree. Very good.
Still has the college seal on the top of it. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Greg, now let me ask you a question.
Clint Johnson, let me answer your question.
In the midst of all that little spiel that I just did.
Yep.
The last part is, how can you begin to navigate your 20s and 30s and still honor God in the process? My question for you would be, what is it that all that stuff, I mean, 401k, insurance, bosses, potential spouses, everything in between, how are those things are possible things that would allow me not to honor God during all of it?
Well, you know, it's funny. To answer your question, Clint Johnson, I have been in my 20s and through a decent part of my 30s right now, and I have not honored God and honored God, hopefully. Hopefully on the second part. I know for sure I have not honored God.
Yeah.
And so it's really easy to not honor God with the stuff that you do, because, I mean, if I do it for me, I'm not honoring God. I'm doing it for me. If I do it to please somebody else, girlfriend, parents, whatever, I'm not honoring God. I'm honoring that person. Now, I can please girlfriend, wife, parents while doing all of that. But to me, primary answer to the question, focused on God. If you're not focused on God, the same thing can honor God or dishonor God.
Because if I'm trying to figure out the whole marriage thing and dating, and if I'm not focused on pleasing the Lord and honoring Him in that, there's no telling who I will date, what that dating will produce, and therefore I may not be honoring Him in the process.
Yeah.
Depending on what job I pick during my adulting phase, that may not be honoring God, depending on... And we're going to actually...
And how you behave at said job.
How you behave at said job. And there are definitely ways that you can do that. That was just kind of a side question. Because I know the theme this week on the show is determining, finding God's will. And that's kind of like the age-old question is, you know, I want God's will for my life. I want God's will for my life. And... and we probably will throw the thing around it. How do you find God's will? Like, well, let's back up. What kind of hopes and expectations do people have when they're kind of doing the adulting thing? What kind of some of those hopes and expectations that we have when we go through college? We think if I graduate college or at this point I will blank.
Well, I guess personally.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the expectations are like, you know, everything will fall into place eventually, one way or another, you know. Things will... I'm not certain what I will do, but I will find something and the Lord will provide as long as I'm focused on Him. But that's always how I, you know, viewed it. But that's... I don't know if it's different for everyone or not, but I it's more of a hope, I guess, than an expectation. But I say a big expectation is, you know, whatever you're studying in school is what your job will be right after college.
Or the first college you, the first career you get, that'll be your career for your life.
Like, I'm currently studying new media, which is close to graphic design. So, you know, part of me, I mean, I really want to find something right after college that does that. I'd rather not work in a Sherwin-Williams. That was the first thing that popped in my head.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking of some people at the table. You could end up in management at a company and be using all of the skills that you earned in college,
right,
but not be doing art. You could be doing personnel management, retail management, you know, something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
And then 10 years later, suddenly, boom, that job has an opening for a graphics arts designer, and you're high enough in management to say, "Hey, you're giving me that job." And, you know, and then, you know, you look back on it, you're like, wow, look at where I am now. This is what I wanted to be doing, but those years weren't wasted. Those years that you spent,
those years of in between is the I'm out of God's will.
Yeah, I guess.
I might be out of my will.
I'm not doing my expectations, so I'm clearly not living up to God's expectation.
Right. Because mine and me and God, we're just like thick as thieves, and surely His will and my will are always aligned, right?
But I think even then, when you have these expectations and they don't go your way, I mean, you still have to follow God's will. I guess the thing is, we have to trust that wherever we are, that we're still following God's will.
It is easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's talking in code, but he was talking about me. And I had several years there where every day I said this phrase, "Lord, I need you to do something today." Yeah. I mean, I would say that, I mean, literally that phrase, "Lord, I need you to do something today," because I felt like, you know, this is just not going to work for me, God. But then I would always try to finish that up with, "But God, you know best. You know, you know best. I want your will, not what my will. I want your wants, but not my wants. But God, I need you to come in today." And so that is a much easier thing to say than it is to do. Because there were many days where I felt like, man, I am totally out of God's will. And when that happens, you feel like when you're not meeting those expectations for your life, sometimes we fall into bad habits that take us down bad roads.
Yeah.
You know, wow, I don't have that six-figure salary like I always dreamed. I'm not driving the BMW. I'm not dating the model or whatever. I'm not already engaged. I don't already have 2.5 kids, whatever it is. Therefore, I'm going to comfort eat, or I'm going to go back to drinking or drugs
and
or
all
sex
that,
or whatever.
All that, you know, peer pressure is probably a huge thing, especially in college if you fall back or do something like that. All that stuff is so easy. I don't know if it's like gets worse out of college or be prepared.
Well, yeah. And I think it's more
you'll miss college.
I think, like, I've always, you know, you always hear about peer pressure, and that is true, but I think most of that is self-inflicted. I choose. I am my environment. When I'm around Greg Dye, I'm a much better person. My spirit is better. There are people that I can be around, and I can get down in the dumps. And I know that if I'm around those kind of people. Or I can be with some other people, and maybe my humor goes to PG-13, right? And so I am my environment in a lot of ways. And so people say, well, it's – and I'm not trying to argue with you.
But we think,
well, it's peer pressure. That's why I decided to go back down those roads. Well, really, it's me pressure. It is me saying, man, I'm just – you know, I've really missed the boat. I'm out of God's will. So then I might as well hang out with so-and-so and do so-and-so.
You choose the peers you surround yourself with.
I choose the peers to give me the pressure.
Yeah.
Or I choose the peers to say, what are you doing?
Well, and this is the thing. You're always going to have peers pressuring you. No matter who you're around, they're going to pressure you.
Right.
And you want to surround yourself with people that pressure you in a good direction?
Right.
Or they pressure you in a bad direction?
And then, well, because, yeah, I was gonna say you can be the peer pressure too as well, especially on the opposite when there's someone trying to peer pressure you to do the bad, not God's will. You know, I guess you could, I don't want to say fight them back, but fight that temptation, the pressure.
Because if I'm in the fog and I'm not, you know, or in the desert and I'm, God, I'm totally not in your will, I don't feel it, what's going on here? That's when you need to be surrounded by people that will say, hey, just stay the course. God is faithful. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't forgotten about you. Because we're not always going to have these crystal clear times where it's like, oh, you know, hear us from heaven. You know, I've got it. Sometimes it's, you know, God, am I where I'm supposed to be? You're not meeting my expectations. I'm not where I thought I would be at this point in my life.
Well, and I don't want to bring it up because it's, you know, all three of us are guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you know the story behind the Scott family, Hillary Scott, Thy Will, the song Thy Will.
No.
Okay, so she wrote a song a couple years ago, and it was called Thy Will. Mm-hmm. And so the refrain of the song is Thy Will Be Done. And so it's talking about going through struggle and going through trials and saying, look, God, I know that I'm where I'm at because I'm doing what you told me to do, so you're going to get me through it because I can't get me through it. I'm done getting me through it. Mm-hmm. You're getting me through it. You're doing something today, whatever. It's in your hands. I'm done. And if you go and look up her testimony, like, that's really powerful. Yeah. But her testimony is about a female issue, but I think it applies to everyone equally. There are going to be times where we absolutely lose it. We can't do anything. And so our prayer does have to be, instead of, oh, God is good all the time, sometimes we just have to fall on the ground and say, you're going to do it, God, because I can't. I'm done.
Amen. And that I think that's one thing I've learned as I guess as a youngster that
as a young man
whippersnapper.
As a young whippersnapper that you're gonna need to be picked up more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're gonna get disappointed and let broken down and yep. broken.
And
more,
maybe like, what we need to do is like while I'm waiting on to come out on the other side, while I'm waiting to get that 2.5 kids or the person I want to marry or that job, you know, I want to train for life's future
right.
moments.
Yeah.
You know, there's that analogy, you know, if you decide to go run a 5K or a 10K or half marathon, marathon, you don't just really wake up one day and just say,
and
go, do it.
Go yeah. run the marathon.
Do it.
Yeah,
right.
You have to train to do that.
You start with what? Couch to 5K.
Yeah.
You know, that's the name of the app that most people use. It's called Couch to 5K. It's literally getting your hind quarters off of the couch,
mm-hmm.
and the first day you do just very, very little. And the
right.
next day, and so that's kind of what we have to do is while we're preparing for that, we have to train to be that good coworker, train to be that good husband, that good wife,
that good influence
father.
Of,
that's right.
of God's will. And
yeah.
and when I think of training, you know, it makes me think a little bit at a time. You know, you can't just throw all of it at once. You know,
yeah,
maybe you can focus on one aspect of it. Build it up, start focusing on other aspects until, you know, it becomes habit.
Yeah.
And that's another thing is continuous training.
Yeah.
I heard that recently when we were talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, all these athletes who run marathons and compete in the Olympics, they don't stop after they succeed. They keep going.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that we have to do too. You know, once we train ourselves to be this good husband, good father, the graphic designer, pastor, whatever you want to be, you know, once you reach that, you don't stop. You have to keep training yourself. You have things to work on, like even pastors, like I said, you know, even pastors have problems
well,
that need to keep
well,
training.
And that's exactly right. So, like, you know, if, let's say Joe enters the room and Joe says, hey, I want to go to ministry. And I'll say, great. Let's go stack chairs.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't understand. So, yeah, Clint, I want to go into ministry. Oh, well, exactly. Hey, I changed my mind. After service night, we'll stay back and we'll mop the floor. We'll get all nice and clean after youth service. No, Clint, but see, I want to do ministry.
The Karate Kid way.
I want to do ministry. See, I want, you know, and because people think that ministry is what I do on the microphone, whereas reality is. That is just a small, small, small portion.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that the word says? You know, you were faithful with a few things. And I've got to train for there were many years of when I was in full-time ministry before now, where every week I was moving stuff from one building to the other to get it ready every Wednesday night right. while working. Actually, I was tri-vocational. I worked two of the jobs, and I would move stuff from one building to the other. And then the next day, I would come in and I would mop the floors. Well, that's not like that doesn't win you any of awards, and you don't put that on social media. But like
you could.
But that's training. That's training for. You know, that's training for when God is ready for you for promotion or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and so absolutely. So while you're preparing for Goldman Sachs, you might have to make sure that you're doing it with excellence at the Dollar General.
Well, and you know, we always say when you get to be a good father, when you get to be a good pastor, when you get to be a good graphic designer, when you get to be a good wife, whatever.
Right.
In my mind, and I know it's a little bit over-spiritualizing it, but in my mind, all I hear is God saying, you call me good. Who is good but God?
Right.
I mean, there's... If I want to be a good father, I've got a bar that I will never achieve to be a good father.
That's right.
If I want to be a good scientist, there's a bar up there for good scientists.
Right.
Guess what? Only one guy can do it, and that was God. Nobody else can be a good scientist. We can just aim for that high bar.
Yeah.
And so that's what, in my mind, always helps with those expectations and feeling like I need to keep training for it is, yeah, I'm training for it because I'm never going to hit that.
And we think, though, because, like, we think, oh, the goal is so far away, so until then I'll just coast or whatever because I don't have to be on my A game. But no, you know, there is no milestone to be the good dad, whatever. Yeah. It's just I'm dad today.
I'm dad today.
I'm husband today. I am friend today. And it's just every day or the choice I have to make, am I going to honor God today while I'm figuring all this out?
I know a lot of times back in the 90s, I would go to friends' youth groups and I would hear this, and it didn't mean anything to me because I was like, you Christians are crazy.
Right.
But now it means a lot to me. If I don't remember who said it, but there was a guy that said he saw a... what is it? No, the thing you walk on, the moving sidewalk.
Escalator?
No, not an escalator.
A moving sidewalk. The moving greenhouse.
Yeah. He saw a moving sidewalk going backward, going this way, and then beneath it was a moving sidewalk going faster in the same direction, and all these people were on the moving sidewalk, but a couple people were walking the opposite direction. And he said, I don't understand this, and he was talking to God, and God said, both of those moving sidewalks are going to hell. The people that you see that are trying to be better are walking against the moving sidewalk. And you can get on the easy path.
Mm-hmm.
And the easy path will take you there real quick.
Right.
Or you can get on the hard path, and you can walk your way there.
But you're still going
the same
place.
But you're still walking against... If you're going to be a good whatever, you're walking against the current. You're walking against... And it takes every day, because if you're not doing it one day, you're going backwards.
Mm.
Like, if you're not constantly striving to be better... You're getting worse.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, well, and what do you think about this thought of, like, you know, people have this quest, I mean, of, you know, man, I'm going to go on like a 6-day hike and so I can find out God's will for my life. You know, like, you know, I'm going to go to Kathmandu and I'm going to drink some herbal tea and my mind will be open. Right. And I'm going to find myself and God's will.
You can find some interesting things in that herbal tea, but I know it's God's will.
Right. I'm going to go to Colorado and have some interesting brownies. And there I'll find God's will. So we have this obsession with wanting to find God's will. We have this tendency to obsess about knowing God's, you know, unrevealed, mysterious will for our lives. And we heard this guy recently, you know, he asked this question. Why would God reveal his unrevealed will if we forsake his revealed will?
Right.
Why would God entrust to us his mysteries when we have not paid attention to his clear commands?
Yeah.
And that's really, I mean, that's like mic drop questions to me. Mm-hmm. You know.
Make you think about it.
Well, you know, as a father, you know, there are, I give my kids sometimes very basic tasks. There are things like that I expect from them. There are things that they know they are to do.
And you know they can do.
And I know that they can do, and I know that they should do, and I know that they better do. But, and then, and what happens is after I see that pattern of obedience and responsibility, and that they are heeding to my commands, air quote commands.
Air quote, yeah.
Yeah. That, then what happens is then we go maybe deeper than that. I say, wow, Michael, you know, man, you've just been doing really great, you know. And then maybe we go a little bit farther, and the responsibility gets greater, but there's more privileges that go with it. And I kind of, he gets to see deeper into Dad and what Dad's really like. And I had a friend who, his father died when he was about 19 or 20. And one of my best friends, he made this statement. I've always remembered it. He said, I hate that, his name was Jeremy. He said, I hate that Jeremy never got to find out who his dad really was. You know, because for most of our younger life, our dad is the authoritarian. He's the one that tells us to take the trash out. But in reality, he puts his pants on one leg at a time, just like I do. He is Clint. He is Greg, you know. And I think what that those questions is saying to me is, you know, if we can't follow the basic, you know, these are things that is absolutely my will for your life. It is to do X, Y, and Z, things that we all know. And if we can't even adhere to that, why on earth do we think that he's going to open the heavens and a dove is going to descend upon us and he's going to give us, just rock our world with something if we can't even get...
Well, if it's like, if you can't forget, right, we go back to Scripture. Scripture says, forgive mm-hmm. your brother right. 70 times 7.
Yeah.
If you can't forgive the guy that you work with for accidentally moving your chair out of the place where it's supposed to be,
yeah.
then how do you expect God to bestow upon you the spiritual gift of healing touch, where you walk over and you touch people and they're immediately healed of cancer for 30 right. years, but... You know, you go to your work and you yell at somebody because they moved your mouse to the wrong side of your keyboard.
Right.
Okay, let's think about this. If you can't do what's expressly said in Scripture,
yeah.
forgive your neighbor, love your neighbor, love God,
mm-hmm. right.
the simple stuff, why would he do the superior, mysterious stuff
Show
that really requires faith?
His will for you.
Yeah.
yeah.
It is again, easier said than done.
Right. right,
it's easier said than done. Right. If that weren't the case, then we would all, you know, and that's just, you know, again, it's easier said than done. But sometimes we have to ask ourselves, you know, what are some ways that we are living our life in accordance with the things that he has made clear? Like, what are the things that we are doing that we say, you know what, I don't need a new revelation, because anytime I open my word, there's revelation. But I know that I need to live according to this guideline that he's already given me, that I have access to all the time. Sunday school talk there, but...
Well, first you got to open your word.
Well, you got to open it. There.
To know what's expressly said, mm-hmm. explicitly in Scripture, you kind of have to read
right.
Scripture. Spend some time with God, and then you can find out what his express will is, and then you might be a little bit closer. There was a study back a couple of years ago that said the number of Christians that like read their Bible on a day-to-day basis... I mean, just
like
something that simple, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a staggeringly low percent. You're like, okay,
right.
maybe
yeah.
we can understand why we have so much problem following Scripture, because yeah. we're not actually reading
well,
it.
Yeah, I mean, let's hit more closer to home. When you wake up first thing in the morning and you open your phone, what is the first thing you're doing?
Yeah.
And why is it the first thing we're doing, opening up our phone? But mm-hmm. if the first thing you're doing about your phone is looking at Instagram or whatever, why is it not doing something instead for the kingdom? Why are we not opening up my word? Why is that not the first thing I want to be put into my life, instead of me getting on Twitter and seeing all the crazy people that's on there? Like, why do I do that? You know, it's because I crave their approval and their information more than what I want
almost,
God's word.
Almost craving everyone else's will
sure.
and not God's.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's really difficult, especially in college, as soon as you graduate high school. You know, when you leave home, assuming you leave home, you know, you get all these independent decisions and, you know, an independent will. You figure out, and I heard this once on a social media post that, you know, college is about trying to find yourself, which it is. But I think a lot of people take that. I think a lot of kids take advantage of that sometimes too.
Yeah.
You know, we always say try to find a church, stay connected to God, and I hear all about all these kids, you know, going either A, church shopping, or B, sleeping in, and that can really that really affects your relationship with God and God's will for you. Because
yeah.
then, you know, if expectations are unmet, you know, then you'll go into all these coping strategies because you don't realize that this isn't, you know, this is God's will, not yours. But if you stay connected to the church, I think that's another. Well, it could be at first. It could be another good coping strategy, is talk to people in fellowship and stay connected to the church, read the Word. But if you don't find a church to stay connected, then it's just all the harder.
Well, and I think the real secret that we talked about for dealing with adulting, air right. quotes, is being in Christ. Mm-hmm. And there are two kind of things to abide in Christ. You have to abide in His Word, and you have to abide in His body. If you're not getting into the Word every day, you're not abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. You're abiding in yourself, and you may look a little bit like Christ if your youth pastor did a good job, but if I don't spend time in His Word, I won't look like Him. Mm-hmm. But then, if I don't get around others who can call me out on the ways that I'm not reflecting Him, that know Him well enough to look at me and say, don't exactly portray the image of Christ right now. If I'm not around those people, I'm not going to magically look like Jesus looked.
And by the way, it's God's will that you surround yourself with people that will do that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's God's will.
Expressly said in Scripture.
Yeah.
Do not forsake the gathering of believers. So, okay. Clint, what are some ways that I could really walk this out if I wanted to get better at this?
Well, there's probably several ways. I mean, one of the things you could do is you could just do a personal action. And to me, that means one of the reasons why I don't think I'm in God's will is because I hear voices from people who have no business telling me mm-hmm. what God's will is for my life. And so right. that sometimes that might be a fast from pop culture or influences that distract me from my devotion to Christ. That might mean from people, social media, general media. I mean, that could
Marvel
be lots
movies.
Of things. Absolutely.
You mean MTV isn't a good guide for my life? I might have to...
MTV still exists.
Read the Bible and fast
if
MTV.
They just play the music videos, it might still be okay. Yeah. Yeah, you see, you can do that. You could mentor. You could spend some time with an older adult and ask them about their unmet expectations.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Clint. Yeah. Yeah, so you might want to go to them and say, hey, what was it, when you were adulting, when you were going through that process and you had unmet expectations, how did you handle it? What can we learn from their early adult years?
Well, you know, and the important thing with mentoring is you've got to find a mentor, you've got to be a mentor.
Yeah.
Because Amen. Inevitably, if you're looking for somebody older than you right. who's going to guide you through these first years of adulting, there's somebody who's younger than you mm-hmm. looking for you mm-hmm. to guide them how to get a good start in adulting.
I heard this one sermon about how we should all be bows and arrows, talking about the next generation of ministers and stuff like that, where the bow guides the arrow. Oh, I hope I get this right. Basically the same concept where, we have to be a bow and we have to be an arrow. We have to be a mentor and we have to be mentored. You know, it's not just one or the other, you know. For everyone, you're going to be both some way.
Right. Greg, you talked about, you should kind of have a plan. We should be reading God's Word.
Yeah.
And so you need to maybe share with a close friend and a group of friends. You should have a text, a time, and a place. Kind of three things. You know, you should say...
Text, a time, and a place.
Right. I should say, I know what I'm going to read today. I know when I'm going to do it, and I know where I'm going to do it. You know, I kind of know that I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to leave my house at about 7 o'clock to take my kids to school, and then I'm going to come to work, and then I'm going to mm-hmm. do such and such. Why don't we do that same thing with our relationship with the Lord? You know, when I get home tonight, I'm going to 1, 2, 3, or first thing in the morning, or whatever, during my lunch break. And so share with a close friend or a group of friends and say, hey, this is my text, time, and place. I want to find out God's will for my life, and I don't have time to be worrying about His unrevealed will, because there's probably lots of revealed will that I'm not doing because I'm not even in His Word.
And it's important to share that with a friend or close a group of friends, because that gives you some accountability.
Right.
I mean, it's easy for me to go, yeah, I'll open my Bible tomorrow, at this time, at this place. But then that time, place rolls around. Well, I mean, I really should be doing this. Right, but if you've told somebody else, you're accountable to them.
Yeah, and the big thing on that is, know what you're going to read. You know, don't just... A lot of people
Holy
just,
finger.
The holy... Open the Bible. Lord,
yes,
tell me.
Lord,
and then...
Oh,
what do you...
Woo.
Yeah. And it'll say something you don't expect. Yeah.
We've all done it.
Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God.
I always think Bible memorization is a great way to get, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. John 15, 4 and 5 would be a good one. What does it say, Casey Hall?
John 15, 4 and 5. Hold on, not the New King James Version.
The King James?
You can.
Took
you
out
can,
the
D's
and the D's and replaced them with
It says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
See, I mean, that's like really easy to put on a card, put in your purse or your wallet, mm-hmm. or even to take an expo mark and write on the inside of your of your like window across the top of your car.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I do. I put the sticky notes on my. I would put the sticky notes on my bathroom mirror.
Yeah,
I always go in the bathroom every
morning.
I'm a
sticky note person too. Yeah, I like sticky.
As long as they stick, get the good sticky notes.
Right. Yes.
Oh, the cheap sticky notes where it like sticks for half
and then
a
the
day
corner will
like,
man, yeah, just can't go there. Yeah, you gotta get the real good brand. Yeah, pray. We want to ask God to give us a heart to obey the things He has already revealed to us in Scripture. God, help me obey and live out the things that You've already told me.
Because that goes back to if you're not spending time with God, you won't reflect God.
Right.
And I can read His Word, and I can be around His people, but a huge component of that is talking to Him.
It's a shift when we would pray, God, let my concern not be about finding Your unrevealed will, but let it be about abiding in You and obeying You. That's a shift.
Right.
You know, instead of me just saying, all I'm concerned about is finding God's will, no, my desire should be, God, I just want to remain in You. I just want to be where You are. I want to be in Your presence, and I want to obey You.
Yeah. And if you do abide and obey, you know, eventually He will reveal His will to you. And that's the point of it, you know. You can't just, you know, cold turkey, show it to me. You know, you got to work for it. You got to train for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like...
And you got to pray for it.
It's not like He's going to say, oh, Casey did, you know, everything on my checklist. And so now, you know, God loves us. You know, we don't see that's because that's how we see it.
Interesting checklist.
You know, it's like a boss and employee. That's how the boss sees it with the employee. But that's not how it is with God. But it's because when I say, God, all I want to do is just abide in You. All I want to do is obey Your word. Well, then what happens is His will. I'm spending so much time with Him that His will just becomes my will.
Yeah.
I'm learning the Father. I'm learning His wants and His desires.
And then, you know, the last one is study. You've got to get in the Bible and you've got to study what God's Word says about what you're going through. And Clint, do you have your Bible on you?
I do.
Oh, look, you've got a phone.
I've got a phone.
The electric Bible.
But do you have a Bible, Clint? Because if you had a Bible, you could quickly look up 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24.
I have a real Bible.
Oh, look.
Just not in the ring.
It's right here, 1 Thessalonians 5.
Be joyful always. Pray at all times. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus. Another version says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One of the best verses in all scriptures. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's a great Thanksgiving.
In all circumstances. Joke's on you guys. I had to pull it up the entire time. I just let you guys argue it out.
Of course. And next week, we're going to be talking about our careers in adulting. Oh, my.
Oh, I don't even have one of those yet.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, I was talking about the future and what's that going to look like and how we need to prepare for that career. And it's going to be a good talk. It's going to be a good talk.
Given
by two of the co-hosts who have changed careers.
I'll be asking a lot of questions.
So how many careers have you had in your life, Clint Johnson?
One, three. No, four. Four.
Okay, four's not bad.
Four.
Four's not bad.
What does not bad mean? Like lesser?
You know, there's a lot of people that are up in the teens.
Oh.
For how many careers they've had, yeah.
In their 40s? 40?
I'm not 40s.
In their 30s.
No, I know. No, not that. Like, I mean, people.
There's a good number of people in our generation. Mine and Clint's, because he's at the top of that generation. I'm at the bottom of it. who have a new job every couple of years, and that new job is a completely different career. They don't keep some type of general focus. But
Casey Hawk, how can people find us?
I'll even tell you how people can find us. We are all over social media. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us at Conclave Metro for Instagram. You can also find Conclave Radio on Instagram. I will do my best at taking photos.
Yay!
Because I'm okay at it, but trust me, we're on social media. You can also listen to Conclave Radio pretty much everywhere. I'm working on some more platforms. I don't think we're on Google yet, which is on me. But we'll get there. We're on Spotify, YouTube.
Yep.
iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube. We're on Anchor. Thank you for them for letting us
host our podcast for
produce a podcast. Yeah. You know, I can't wait to learn more about my future careers on the next episode of
Conclave Radio.